Welcome everyone to episode 18 of Classic Leap. My name's Tony. I'm here with my friend Scott. How you doing, Scott?
Great.
Episode 18 is upon us, and it's exciting as we approach number 20. How was your day today, Scott?
Not too bad. The weather up here in Ohio is starting to turn a little bit, so it's getting to the point where it feels more like fall, more like football weather. So yeah. It's pretty good day. It was nice and sunny out. Weather was nice.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of cold starting to go around because it's like cold here in the morning and then hot in the afternoon and then cold again at night.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's some people suffering at work, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's typical Ohio. So, well, as we get started in episode 18, Scott and I want to start out with some fan mail. So, Scott, what do you have for us? Who wrote in this week?
Well, we had a new person write in. His name's Raphael. I recognize Raphael from the Retro League forums, so it's pretty cool to hear that he's listening to the show. He writes in to say, "Hey, Tony. Hey, Scott. Just wanted to drop you guys an email. I've been listening to you for a while now since Hemrock mentioned you on the Retro League a while back. I just want to say you guys are doing an awesome job with the podcast, and to answer the question at the end of episode 16, his guest was also Anima by Tool, so that means Raphael and Juan were both correct on the song. So he asked if it was created by a YouTuber named Yoshi Gangster. I don't think this YouTube channel I saw it on, but it's probably that's probably the person that actually did the cover. Anyways, it was pretty darn impressive. I thought that was a pretty cool song. He asks what he wins, and you win a thank you. So, Raphael, appreciate you listening, man. I really appreciate you writing into the show. It's nice that we do have some fans writing in that we don't hear from all the time. So it's just cool to know that some new people are listening. And then we have one more email from Jerry Terrifying. He's giving his two cents regarding a subject that you've discussed, Tony.
Yeah, and Jerry, a big fan of the show, and we're a big fan of the Mondo Cool cast that he does as well. But he wrote in about the ongoing discussion we've had with the arcade cabinets. He said, "I don't see a problem with you using an old arcade cabinet for a main project. As long as it's a machine that's already dead, it's cool. Back in the day, arcades, they would gut cabs and put new games in them all the time, so it's really not that big of a deal." Well, thanks for writing in, Jerry, and I totally agree with you. It is just the structure, the parts in these, like I said last week, is they're just really cheesy old trackball games that really, I mean, to be honest, it would not be worth redoing them. And the cases are in great shape. The inside parts are missing a lot of parts. They're pretty tore up. So in my mind, I totally agree, Jerry, that it's cool to tear them out and make them into sweet MAME cabinets. Just to let everyone know, I am planning on doing a retro theme on both of them, and I am planning on selling both of them. I'm going to do a retro theme with Sonic and Mario, as well as a classic Leet logo on the back, the top of it, and I'm going to do like some cool retro light-up thing on the front. So if I ever get any free time, which will probably be never, but if I do, I'm hoping to get started on those and get them done. I don't think they'll take a lot of time because I already have a good plan of action in mind, but pretty excited about that. So thanks for writing in, Jerry, and we're pretty excited to hear your opinion on that. So it's good. So I think we're going to start out with the retro portion tonight. Is that Scott? So, is that right, Scott?
Yeah, man, definitely.
So
For the retro portion this week, I guess before I do jump into it, I do want to say hello to my buddy Chris, who was in town from New York, and my friend Brian, who was in town from Korea. He's here in the States for 2 weeks, and he was here in our hometown for just one night, so I got to see both of them. Chris said that he's been listening to the show, so it was pretty cool, and the show got brought up a little bit while we were having a couple drinks the other night, and then we all started talking about kind of the format of the show, and his brother was there and a couple other of our friends, and we all just started talking about video games, and they're a group of guys where they all spent a lot of time together, but I didn't run around with them a whole lot, but whenever I do get together with those guys, I do feel very comfortable. They're really, really cool. Everyone is kind of a lot of fun to hang out with. We just grew up in different parts of the town, so we didn't do like the neighborhood football and whatnot together, but it was definitely cool to sit there and have a video game discussion about who's played what. And I didn't even realize that any of the other people there really like video games a lot. So I think it just is a good testament to the idea and the premise of our show that it's something that all of us really seem to have in common. So even though I haven't seen some of these guys in a couple of years, and instead of really talking about the boring stuff, you know, with the so how's life, just kind of boring, trite stuff, we actually got to kind of kick back about some video games. And that was pretty cool. And everyone was kind of in the same boat as me. They were all kind of more on the retro game side. So
these are people we just met. I mean, they flew here from South Korea and New York to just showed up on our doorstep because we're so dang internet famous. They just wanted to meet us.
And it does sound crazy from the small town, and we've got friends everywhere. It's just not that fun of a place to live, right?
Hey,
Some people need to get out and go to some cool places.
We do have confirmation from your friend in South Korea that they did go crazy over StarCraft II. Is this correct?
That's right. He was telling me a story about StarCraft where he said that he didn't have cable, but there's one channel that's always broadcast that he could get, and it was people literally playing StarCraft. You'd watch people play StarCraft.
Scott and I talked about this in one of our earlier podcasts, I believe, didn't we?
Yeah,
because
we mentioned it.
I had read that article that said, like, StarCraft 1, like, for South Korea, tied the country together. It was, like, during a really bad economic time, and families were looking for something they could do together that was cost-effective. And so they went out and bought StarCraft 1. It was right when it came out. And it became – it's like more televised with more sponsorships and more popular than like the national Olympic sports in South Korea. Like it's huge. Like they endorse like 15, 16, 17-year-old people. They put them in like huge auditoriums like we would do with a football game. And they just play StarCraft. It's crazy. And they put it on TV.
I couldn't believe it. It was almost surreal, something that like we'd read about.
Which made me think, you know, I told Scott today, like, when is America going to get on the boat? You know, like, this is ridiculous. We need to start televising video games.
We already have poker, right?
Oh, gosh. Poker's on TV, video games should definitely be on TV. I mean, I'm not – that's probably because I'm not a huge poker fan, but I'm just like, come on, you know.
Still, it's generally considered just as boring to watch for most people, you know. So why wouldn't video games catch on?
I just think it'd be cool. So,
but yeah, I just wanted to share that story. It was a lot of fun to see all those guys. So Chris, thanks a lot for being a fan. And also on a side note, and I begged Chris to write in, so hopefully he does. He actually owned a WonderSwan, and he complained because he couldn't read very many of the games, but it had like an accelerometer in it. So,
oh wow!
So he could like turn it different directions to have the gameplay, you know, either vertical or horizontal or whatever. So I thought that was pretty neat, and that just shows the innovation that that the guy, I forget his name, Okoye or something like that. It just shows how innovative he really was, and that was pretty awesome. So, anyways, Chris, looking forward to a quick email on your experience with the WonderSwan, and he had told me a cool game to try out, and I know Critical Failure. Just got a WonderSwan, and I wanted to try to remember what Chris told me so I could suggest it to Critical Failure and not completely forget. So hopefully Chris will write in and let me know that game that he wanted me to suggest. So anyways, though, on to some retro news, and this is something that I'm pretty excited about. Tony, did you see that the Super Mario Collection is getting released for the Wii?
I did.
For any of you that don't know what Super Mario All-Stars is, it was part of a Super Nintendo pack-in. Maybe it was the second generation Super Nintendo that was released, or maybe it was maybe during the first price drop of the original Super Nintendo. But either way, they changed the pack-in game from Super Mario World to Super Mario All-Stars. And Super Mario All-Stars had revamped 16-bit graphics of Super Mario 1, the American Super Mario 2, Super Mario Lost Levels, which was the Japan version of Super Mario 2, and they also had Super Mario 3 and Super Mario World all in the same cart, which is pretty incredible. It was a game that I really loved to play since I was such a big fan of Super Mario 1, 2, and 3. To see them all in a cart was incredible. So the fact that it's coming to Wii is definitely something that had me pretty pumped. Tony, did you know, and you might not, if that Super Mario All-Stars was with Generation 2, or if it was Generation 1, but maybe like a price drop or like a re-release of the console?
You mean for Super Nintendo?
Yeah, when it was a pack-in game.
I think it was the second round release, because I remember specifically that it came, or Super Mario World was what came with the Super Nintendo originally.
Yeah.
So, like, I think Super Mario All-Stars came with, like, probably, like, right after the console had hit its...
So maybe, like, during the first price drop, but it was still, like, the first model that
yeah,
they had?
Kinda,
okay.
Yeah, it kind of hit its prime, and I think that Mario... I mean, I still remember that box, believe it or not, to this day. Like, All-Star. The Mario All-Star... Yeah, I mean, the All-Star system box. I used to love those days when it came with a game, but that was, you know...
What a novel idea, a pack-in.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think it was probably the second or third generation, or, you know, it was during the prime or after of the SNES. So
very cool. Well, there's a couple things that I read about. I found the article on Dig.com, and they actually mentioned that this is getting a release in Japan in October. So hopefully maybe it'll follow here in the States. They said, from what I could see, is there's no graphical overhaul. So it looks like it really is going to be a direct port of the Super Nintendo version.
Oh, wow.
So the Super Mario Brothers 1, for example, will still, I believe, be the 16-bit remake with the updated music and the updated graphics, not a port of the actual original, but I think it's going to be a direct port of the entire cart, which is pretty cool. And then also, there was a rumor going around that it's going to come with a booklet that recaps the 25-year history of Mario, and that's why they're doing this, is it's a 25th anniversary release, and the booklet will have some unseen development material. So
okay.
I'm wondering if that means maybe like original character drafts or designs that might have gotten revamped, or maybe some level layout that didn't make it into the game. So that would be stuff that would be really cool to know about. It did say that the release would include the soundtrack, which is pretty cool. It's nice to know that the soundtrack will actually, the rumor is that it'll have Super Mario Bros. 1 all the way up until Mario Galaxy 2.
I smell some outro music.
Some outro music? It'll make it easier this week. Yeah, we'll have to pull an obscure Mario Brothers and see if anybody can guess it once again, to steal the jukebox from Gooch and the Douchebag. But I was going to say, any reason that we can get to have people write in, I'm all for it.
I'm assuming this is going to be a day one purchase for you?
Yeah, and even though it's a gimmick and I've played it before, I'm totally a sucker for it.
Of course, yeah.
And that was actually on my next bullet point. And I was like, I know this is just an idiot for idiots like me, but I'm definitely going to pre-order it, I think.
Oh, no. I mean, it's going to be a huge seller.
And the one other cool thing was they're going to pay homage to Super Mario Bros. 3 and have the case or the box that it comes in be yellow.
So, really?
Yeah. So I
that
think
that would be cool. That'd be cool.
Well, Tony, if you were to get this compilation, I know that you probably won't because you don't have a Wii. But which of the games would you be the most interested to play in? Maybe it's your favorite. Maybe it's because you hadn't played it much. But out of the original Mario All-Stars, which is the one that maybe you'd be the most excited to play on the Wii?
Man, that's hard for me to answer because I really enjoy Mario games all around. Mm-hmm. So for me, I would just probably churn my way through all of them.
Okay.
So not to give you a cheesy answer there, but I don't know. I just I really think from the beginning Mario has had the right formula
mm-hmm.
for a platformer, and it's kind of what everything else has been built around in a lot of ways. And so I would probably churn through most of them because I really enjoy just Mario in general. So it's that one game that I can always go back to in my life. Like I don't know, like anytime, you know, I'm getting bored with first-person shooters or other games that I enjoy, like, you know, I just go back and stick in a Mario game and, you know, all the pain goes away.
Yeah, definitely. I think I would, and I'm almost ashamed to admit this, but I never did own a Super Nintendo. I would
I love Super Nintendo.
I would do Super Mario World because I've never beaten the game. I've played a lot of it, but I've never beaten it before. So even though I'm a pretty big Mario fan, it's pretty sad that I haven't played through and beaten what some people consider the best Mario game ever.
It was really good. I still remember going up, like in our mall, going like up to the second floor of JCPenney, and like they had it up by the photo department, and like it was set up and playing. And like my friends and I would go to the mall and play it for like 2 hours, like, you know, because we didn't have Super Nintendos, we were begging for them for Christmas. Yeah. Like it was, yeah, amazing.
My when I was a little kid, my friend moved away in like fourth grade. And they moved about 45 minutes away, and there for a while there, our moms would meet at a small town halfway in between, and we'd trade kids for the weekend or whatever. So I remember one time going to his house for the weekend, and we must have spent all day at the Walmart that was within bike riding distance.
Yeah.
Just playing Super Mario World on the
Kia. That's awesome.
I did the exact same thing. And then as far as what I have been playing, Tony, I know that I'm getting a little redundant here and almost broken record-ish, but I cannot stop downloading indie games for the 360.
I know. It's so funny because, like, you have so few achievements. And I come over, I'm like, have you been playing? You're like, yeah, all the time. And he's been playing, like, these $1 games. But, I mean, I did watch him play a few tonight, and they were really fun. So
the one game is a very... cheesy, or not even trying to disguise it, the fact that it's almost a Mega Man ripoff. There's no bosses that I've run into yet, but it's a game called That Orange Guy. I downloaded it yesterday. Again, it was only $1. I'm 5 stages into the game out of 50, and I've enjoyed it quite a bit. So for $1, I've already gotten my money's worth, and I'm only 5 stages into it. So even if I don't, or even if I get bored and I don't actually end up getting past too many levels, I've already spent well over an hour playing, and my girlfriend and I actually both really liked it, and it was one of those times where we were being really old school with it, where we were just trading the controller back and forth. Like, after she would die, then I'd give the level a try, and vice versa. So that's been pretty cool.
I tell you what, the best thing about some of those cheap platforming games, those cheap games, is like it brings you back to what video games is all about. And like, for me, there's nothing, you know, you could have Halo Reach in front of me, and like, if I had, you know, a friend sitting there and we were playing Punch Out or something, it would be more fun, you know, like just passing the controller back and forth, just trying to beat levels. It's fun.
Yeah, there's a real sense of like camaraderie and satisfaction. So I completely agree. And maybe that's why I really do love those games so much. I guess I thought that maybe just because it was $1, but a good platformer is a good platformer. So, yeah, I totally agree. And then I do have an update. I think I can give a Scott Pilgrim final review. I still have some of the frustrations, but I did get all the way completely powered up, and I did beat the game actually earlier today. It got better. As you power up, you start to move quicker. You start to get combination hits, and the skills that you unlock are pretty helpful. And then, like I said before, there's plenty of money scattered around the level, so there's not a ton of grinding if you find you're too weak. I did do a game fact that showed me how to increase my strength a lot, because I was just getting frustrated with this boss. But anyways, I played all the way through it. I can't say enough about the music of the game. Hemrock had mentioned on the Retro League's newest episode that he actually got the soundtrack, the Onoguchi soundtrack of the video game. And he was mentioning that a lot of people think that it's their best album. I don't know. I haven't listened to a lot of Onoguchi, but he said that it's not his favorite album, even though it's really good. So the fact that it wasn't his favorite makes me want to really check out a lot of their stuff. And that pretty much wraps
That's
up what
what
I've
I've
been doing
been
with video games. It was,
doing.
for me, unfortunately, it was the wrapping up of moving recently and playing an hour or two here there with the downloaded games and whatnot on my Xbox. So, I guess as far as my final Scott Pilgrim, if
If
you
you
do
do
like
like
old-school
school
beat 'em ups, if you like
like
Final
Final
Fight
Fight
or Streets
Streets
of Rage
Rage
or Double
or
Dragon or any of those,
I
I'd recommend getting it. It's
recommend
$10. I got plenty of gameplay out of it. There's a lot of stuff that I can unlock now, so I would definitely recommend it.
Cool, man. Awesome. Well,
Well,
is that all you have for the
that's
portion this week?
all that I have on my end, so let's hand it over to you for the modern stuff.
Cool. Well, I want to dig right in this week. I just have a couple things to talk about. First of all, the biggest news this week in my mind is that Halo Reach comes out this coming Tuesday. I mean, Halo was so formative for me, in boosting me into the next generation of gaming. And so it comes out on, I believe, the 13th or 14th, Monday or Tuesday. And so if you are a first-person shooter fan, if you love competitiveness, if you love a company that really cares about the people who play their games, then you got to check out Bungie's Halo Reach. It's the prequel to the Halo franchise. It's going to be the final Halo game that Bungie makes, kind of under the umbrella of Microsoft, even though they're kind of a separate entity. Check out Halo Reach. There's new abilities, the jetpacks. So you can send out holograms, as like decoys, everything. It's gonna be a sweet game. So I'm definitely picking it up. I'll have it by next Thursday. So
I didn't know it was the final game. Isn't this a bit of a prequel to Halo 1, like
yeah,
story-wise?
it
So
is.
did Halo 3, did it wrap up? Like, did it have a good ending, or did it have an ending that made people not expect a Halo 4?
No, it was like, you got to finish the fight, achievement and marking when you finished Halo 3, and I thought it was a pretty good wrap up to the story.
Oh, you
So,
did? Okay.
yeah, like I mean, there's probably like, someone out there with Master Chief tattooed on their ass who doesn't think it was a good wrap up, but in my mind, I think it was. So, but I'm just, a casual gamer. So, but yeah, like Halo 3 was the wrap up. Halo Reach is the prequel. It doesn't mean there's gonna be the last Halo game, but this is, I believe this is the last one that Bungie's entitled to make, for Microsoft. And I think
Oh.
Bungie's gonna branch off, and Microsoft will still own the Halo name, but Bungie will actually.
Are they going to start like developing for other consoles, like, or platforms?
That's the idea, but
Really?
I mean, nothing's set in stone at this point. So, but just check out Halo Reach. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna take up the minimal time that I have to play video games. So,
We'll probably have a whole month of updates. Kind of how when we first started the show, it was several episodes in a row of Red Dead,
yeah,
and now you'll be moving into to giving us a bunch of Halo stuff. Maybe we can do a mini spoiler cast, and you can talk about some stuff that you liked about the game.
For sure. I think that would be a lot of fun. So I'm definitely excited to play through it. So it'll be good. And Scott and I will have to do some co-op. So
Maybe I'll get it. I don't know.
you will.
We'll see.
Peer pressure is a mother.
You're good at it. I have
I am good
all
at
this
it.
crap now.
I'm not very confident in many things, but that is one of them. So, so that comes out. Also, Plants vs. Zombies came out for the Xbox Live Arcade this past week. And if you love great puzzlers, slash tower defense type strategy games, when I first saw Plants vs. Zombies several months back on the iPhone, I was like, this is going to be stupid. And then I downloaded the game. And I didn't play any iPhone game more than I played Plants vs. Zombies. I loved it. It was a blast, and it's addicting. And this one adds tons more features, levels. I believe there's some online co-op with this one. Just absolutely crazy. Like, it's, yeah, I don't know what the online stuff is exactly, but you can kind of show off some of your high scores. and the house that you build. But dude, it's a lot of fun. Have you played Plants vs. Zombies?
No, I haven't. I didn't even know it came out until we were at work today and you had mentioned it. And since
Yeah.
I might actually just buy it tonight when we're wrapped up.
Dude.
See if my girlfriend wants to play a little bit, because it sounds like a
It's
game
fun.
that she's just gonna love. And
Yeah.
Gooch had his girlfriend on Gooch and the Douchebag, and that was the game that they talked about. And
Yeah.
she went nuts over it, and she's way better at Gooch at the game than she's better than him. So I want to see if it's similar for us. I hate when I lose to her in video games. But it can happen sometimes, so
Yeah.
it'll be cool to see. I'm definitely gonna pick that up.
It's out on a ton of platforms, so if you played it on another one, you know, it is $15. I just read it's $15. I thought it was 10, but it's 15, which kind of sucks, but you know, I think it's worth it. It's fun. So check out Plants vs. Zombies if you haven't. I
I'm just gonna
also
put it on the Classic Elite credit card since we got
that's
the black American Express or whatever.
sure, why not? And we also send prizes out.
Yeah. Well, I'll just write it
So
off on our taxes as our business expense.
that's right. And the IRS will be like, why didn't you make any money?
What? Just because you didn't bring any in doesn't mean we owe you.
This is true. The other thing I wanted to do tonight is just kind of give out props to a couple guys in the industry I've been following for a while. And their last night, their, excuse me, their last names are hard to say, so I'll probably screw it up. But Greg Zashuk and Ray Mazuka. And these guys have been in gaming since the early days, and they're geniuses. They both have, like, you know, advanced degrees, I believe. Could have basically done anything they wanted in the fields of engineering or whatever, but they chose to stick with video games. And these two guys have been friends since college, and they actually started and own, or are the top shareholders in BioWare. You know BioWare, right, Scott?
It sounds familiar, but can you?
BioWare created Mass Effect, the Mass Effect series. They've
Oh,
also
okay.
created Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, the very first one for the Xbox. They didn't do the second one, but they did the first one. And they've done some D&D spinoffs earlier.
Nice.
They also have done the Dragon Age series, and then they did a really cool game on original Xbox, I believe, called Jade Empire, which was just phenomenal. These are the RPG gurus. There's no one better at classic traditional RPGs. I started Dragon Age. I liked it. I don't really get into a lot of, like, the I don't know, like, the evil fantasy stuff. So I kind of shied away from it, just because I didn't like the story a lot. But it was a phenomenal gameplay game. And Mass Effect, you've heard some of our counterparts in podcasting just rave about Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah.
These guys just continue to push the line further than anyone can imagine when it comes to RPGs. And I just wanted to give a shout out to them tonight, and just tell our listeners to go online and read about them. We'll post a link to them answering some fan questions. Just go check them out. Like, they're really cool guys. They get video gaming. They're huge RPG fans, especially if you're an RPG fan. Go read about the history of BioWare and these two guys, and you'll see how committed they are to fans having a great experience with RPGs. So I just like to share stuff like that sometimes, because sometimes we just don't know the people very well behind the great games that come out, and these two guys are amazing. So check them out.
No, like I'm only familiar with like Miyamoto, and other than that, or like Cliffy B, because you've talked about him, but I'd never heard of Cliff Bleszinski before even doing the podcast, because I really hadn't been into to any of the backstories or any of the development side of new games. You know, I just heard of titles and had played some of them, so it's been pretty cool to see maybe where these guys had come from, and they all seem to have pretty cool stories behind their careers and how they kind of ended up in gaming. It's usually pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love reading the backstories, and for me, that's half the fun of being in gaming. So, a couple more things I just wanted to touch on. Two more things. First of all, the deal of the week this week, and I want to give a shout out to some of our football fans out there. I like college football. I know Scott's a big Notre Dame fan. I'm a big Ohio State fan, so go Buckeyes. But
go Irish.
We got Randy. I like watching Notre Dame too. But just a shout out to you college football fans. We're a couple weeks into the season now, and NCAA 11 actually kind of won out on the ratings this year over Madden, which is a big surprise.
Really?
Yeah. And they say it's the first time ever that NCAA actually has kind of stood apart from Madden with some of the features. And so I just wanted to let people know that in the deal of the week this week, you can get it's a $60 game. You can get NCAA 11 for about $35 to $45 depending on the day. I check it every day on Amazon and on eBay.
Nice.
Someone I had fixed their computer the other day. They got me a eBay gift card for $50. And so I went and bought NCAA 11 for PS3 because my brother has it and we like to play games online sometimes together. So
nice.
I would have preferred it for 360, but it's cool just for achievements. But PS3 has trophies, so it's fun too. So my brother and a couple other guys will probably do like an online league. But I'm pretty excited to play it, and it was free for me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I got it for like $43 after shipping or something. So check that out. Deal of the week this week, NCAA 11.
You know, I was actually going to ask you, since it is football, I was going to bring that up this podcast. I'm glad you mentioned something about it. I was going to ask you what you thought the reason was behind college football games not normally standing up to Madden and why they typically are viewed as a little inferior. But it looks like, for whatever reason now, they were able to step it up. Doesn't EA make both franchises?
Yeah, and the biggest failure in the last 5 years of football games is, I mean, you can argue this till the day, but I mean, I'll stand strong on this point, is that EA has put a monopoly on the football market, which frustrates the crap out of me. Ask anyone about NFL 2K5, and they'll explain to you why EA pisses them off, you know? And to be honest, EA... They are frustrating, man. They try to get their hands in everything. I like some of the games they publish, you know, I'll be honest, but you know, people are gonna buy football games, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know the whole story with the NFL 2K thing?
No, I don't actually.
Well, I'll tell you quickly. NFL 2K was the series from Sega and 2K Sports,
yeah,
you know, back in the day, and then 2K Sports kind of became its own entity, 2K Games. Well, in 2005, Madden was getting ready to come out. It's typical frame, August 16th or something like that. 2 weeks before it came out, 2K Games released NFL 2K5 for $20.
Oh,
brand new for $20.
I remember them doing that. I really do. Wasn't it
and
like
that
ESPN
game,
tied to it or something like
ESPN
that?
ESPN was tied to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That game was badass. Like, amazing. Like, the best football game to this day I've ever played in my life.
Really?
Madden is just now doing things that game was doing. Because back then, on the original Xbox and PS2, the Madden games were really arcadey. Like, the guys who were really good online were the guys that, like, played it a ton from the get-go, and they knew all the glitches. There was tons of glitches. There was tons of, like, you know, if you run...
Were there plays that were almost unstoppable?
Yeah, and that's what I always hated about Madden is, like, every year there's a glitch. No matter what year it is, there's... well, it's not really called a glitch, but there's some sort of trick play that you just cannot defend. And the cool thing with NFL 2K5 is it was like an actual simulator. It felt like you were playing a competitive football game. Like every game my friend and I played was like, you know, 35-28 or something, you know, like, and dude, it was just a blast. It took a couple weeks to get used to the control scheme, but it was just so much fun. And like back then the Xbox would do, it would do 480p if you had a high def TV, which was very rare back then. But my friend had a 30-inch widescreen Sanyo CRTV, but it was an actual HD TV, but it was like still the cathode ray tube.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he had it hooked up with component cables, and I mean, oh man, it was just beautiful, you know, for back in the day. And like, we played season after season after season, and for the next 2 years after 2K. or after, because then after that year, we were so pumped for 2K6. Mm-hmm. We couldn't wait, you know, it was so much better than Madden. And so Madden ended up, I mean, they were, EA Sports had to be pissed. Madden ended up cutting the price of EA ended up cutting the price of Madden by $20 and trying to push it up and release it a week early because people started buying 2K5 in droves, and it just blew Madden away in sales that year. And like,
well, how's come? What was the reason that it kind of faltered? Or,
well, EA Sports went out that year because of that, and they bought the NFL license.
Oh, it was a licensed NFL game on 2K5.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was like
that's back before there was any monopoly, and so EA lost tons of money that year because Madden 05 was mediocre at best. They lost tons of money that year, and so they went out and bought the NFL license, so no one else can make a football game NFL license now except for EA, and they've owned it ever since.
Oh, okay.
Which is frustrating. But anyways, as you can tell, I was real passionate about that and really frustrated about it back in the day. But so that's kind of what happened. But yeah, let's just stop talking about it. So anyways, that's deal of the week this week, NCAA 11. Long story long, as I like to say. But also, I wanted to close out this week talking just a couple minutes about tablet PCs and some hardware. And it affects gaming. If you'll remember, a week or two ago, I talked about the iPhone and how the iPod Touch and how I believe it is a valid gaming machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say there's some cool new tablets coming out in the next couple months running Android 2.2, which has been the only mediocre at best competitor to Apple's OS and people developing for the iPhone. And I just wanted to let you know, IGN just posted an article, the top 25 iPod Touch and iPhone games. And so go ahead and check that out if you get a chance to, because it's a really good article, and it will show you that there are 20, you know, there's way more, but at least 25 really solid, really challenging games to play on that device. And so just wanted to give you a heads up. I'll be actually purchasing the Arcos 101. If you go to Arcos.com, ArcoS.com, they're a French company, and they are actually finally doing some capacitive multi-touch screen tablets, the 101 and the 70. Are going to be the new ones. And the 101 is a $299 Android 2.2 tablet that runs at speeds that compete with the iPad. And it's capacitive touchscreen, 10-inch tablet. And so I just want our listeners to pay attention to some of these changes coming out with PCs and portable gaming, because it'll be interesting with the 3DS coming out and the talk of the new Touch PSP to see how these tablets factor in, because they're starting to garner a lot of sales because of the price points.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just something interesting to pay attention to with some of these new Android tablets coming out, and then the iPhone and the iPad continue to evolve and get better. And I really think that, you know, they are viable gaming devices. And so it'll be interesting to see if we see the disappearance of, you know, the DS and the PSP in the future at some point, and everything kind of moves to like a phone personal media player format. So
that, you know what, that could happen. There was, I think it might've been a new segment for Critical Failure's newest episode of Tidal Claw Radio mentioned the PSP potentially having phone capabilities, like the N-Gage that failed for Nokia. So that would be something to look out for, if that's actually something that they would try to incorporate, which
would be a disaster to look out for.
It will be interesting if Nintendo, especially them, for example, since they've had such a strong grasp of the handheld market, if they start bringing out the Nintendo tablet and whatnot instead of having a handheld gaming device, if it'll start to get into the realm of doing a lot more and almost being backed like a family computer, or you know what I mean?
It'll be interesting
it
to see.
To like have a Nintendo handheld that's not really a handheld in the true sense. So, and I guess before we wrap things up, I do want to give a big thank you to the Retro League. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to the newest episode yet, Tony, but they had a question of the week that dealt with your favorite podcast other than the Retro League, of course. And there was a couple people that mentioned us. Raphael, who wrote into the show, and then also Hemrock and Rob brought up our show. So we just want to let you guys know thank you very much for giving us shout-outs and having a couple listeners find out from our show because of you. We've gotten a few emails, so we definitely know that you guys have been a big help in getting us a few fans. So thank you very much to all of you for bringing us up on your podcast episode about podcasts. So,
For sure. Thanks a lot.
and I guess to wrap stuff up, Tony, if anybody wants to write in with a comment or question, what's the best way to get a hold of us?
I think you can either go to 1-800-BIG-SEXY. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong number. But it's my personal bat line. No. But if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at ClassicLeet, ClassicL337 at gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, ClassicLeet, Facebook fan page, search for ClassicLeet. You can find us on iTunes.
On iTunes, that's right. And if anybody does listen to us on iTunes, if you would leave us a rating, that would be awesome. Right now, we do have one. We have a 5-star from Jerry Terrifying. So I actually think I'm against iTunes. I don't have it. I think I should download iTunes, give him a 5-star rating because the Mondo Coolcast really does deserve a 5-star rating, and
Totally
then
agree.
I can go ahead and uninstall it because it's a program that I don't like to use. But yeah, if anybody does listen to us on iTunes, please leave us a review. It would be pretty awesome.
You can also listen to us on Gamer Network Radio online on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, correct? Eastern time?
8:30.
8:30.
I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. It's
Oh,
8
okay.
o'clock.
Dang it. Yeah, I got it wrong last week. All right. It's 8 o'clock. People rarely get me, so good job.
Yeah.
Touche.
My
So, all right. Yeah, so at 8 o'clock, just friggin' listen to GNet Radio all the time and you won't miss us. So
that's the best way to do it.
especially on Thursday evenings Eastern time, roughly around there. But listen to us at 8 o'clock on mygnetradio.com, Gamer Network Radio. And those Gamer Network Radio is awesome. So check it out.
Absolutely. So that wraps up episode 18. We appreciate everyone checking out our podcast, listening to us on GNet or downloading. So again, thanks a lot, everybody.
Yep, and as Scott says when we're not recording, peace out, fools.